Bears at El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. And here we are on the shores of El Pacifico, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We do it every night. And we do it not only here on the radio across our Phil Hendry Radio Show network. We do it online at philhendryshow.com with live streaming video of our show, our daily podcast the next day, our thousands of hours of archived material, and our merchandise shop. We really want to insist, and I just don't want to ask, I insist you go to our merchandise shop and get something for the little lovely lady thing, you know, the person.
Girlfriend
or wife. Get something for her there in our merchandise shop today at philhendryshow.com. We have Bobby Dooley with us. Forgive me, I recognized yesterday I had a little bit of a... I'm not sick, but I think it was, like I say, from weekend of football that I blew my throat out. So I think it's getting a little bit better. We have Bobby Dooley with us and Steve Dooley tonight to talk. It's an interesting conversation we're going to have. They have a mom's coffee club at the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization and the Homeowners Association, and they discuss the domestic aspects of voting. You know, in other words, if you're voting differently from your husband as opposed to your wife and so forth, what kind of fallout is there in a home? And I recognize people do this all the time. The most obvious example, I think, of how well people deal with their political differences. We've seen examples on television with these husband-wife teams that are political commentators. The most obvious, I think, is James Carville and Mary Madeline. He is a Democratic consultant and I think himself a committed liberal, and she is a Republican consultant and herself a committed conservative, and yet they've been married for I don't know how long, and they look like they're really happy, and they have a lot of fun with each other, and she's often admired his bald head and all that stuff. So anyway, we're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley here this hour about the forthcoming elections and what they mean to the average American man and woman, the married couple. Bobby, how are you tonight?
We're doing well, Phil. Thank you for having us on.
And Steve's there with you?
Well, Steve's in and out here. This is really something that he wanted me to share with you and to deal with, but he is he definitely wants to contribute. He said, tell Phil to hold on. I'm going to go out to the garage, and he wants to get some internet stuff that he got at work today.
So you guys were going to vote differently from each other. Is that correct?
Well, I think that's where we were going. I know Steve has always voted Democrat ever since I've known him. I have tended to vote Republican. But it's as you were just saying, Phil, it's never affected our marriage or, you know, the tranquility of our home or our ability to have a nice home and a peaceful home.
So you haven't had any wars?
No. We have not had any wars. We've not had any real problems with that, although... You know, Steve is the man of the house, and he is, as the man of the house, I think it's very natural for a man to be more insistent. And, Steve, let me turn it down.
You got the TV on there.
Yeah. I think it's more likely for a man to be insistent that, I don't know, his wife, vote the way he does, but it's never really been an issue until this election. And I had said to Steve that I wanted to take a job with a magazine here locally, and they had an associate editor job that was opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I wanted to take that job, and Steve said to me that he wanted me to have that job, but this election that was coming up was a very important one, and that he felt a little emasculated, and I asked him what he meant. He said all the years that we've been married, I've always voted Republican, and it has felt a little funny to him. This is the first time that I knew this.
So you never knew that your... voting opposite of him was bothering him.
Is that right, honey?
Yeah, it didn't bother me, but that's an important election.
Because it's an important election.
Okay.
So I asked my husband in a conversation that was totally unrelated. I said, you know, our boys are getting older, and eventually Dylan, who is our youngest, is going to be out of the house. And I wanted to take this job, this associate editor job. And Steve has always been very supportive of me and told me that, you know, he wanted me to have that job, but that he would feel a little, he would feel reluctant to allow me to take the job if I was going to vote for either Gingrich or Romney.
Okay.
Go ahead, Steve.
So I told her, I said, you know, if you want to have a job, you vote for Obama.
So he basically said, yeah, if you want that job, is there something you can do for me? I said, well, what? And he said, I want you to vote for Obama.
And what was your decision?
Well, my decision was that I would vote for Obama because he's my husband, and, you know, if I don't, then I don't get to have this job.
Now, I want to ask both of you together, because you're there. Don't you feel, Mr. Dooley, Steve?
Yep.
Don't you feel a little guilty?
Not really.
I mean, let me finish my question. Don't you feel a little guilty asking your wife to forego this job that she wants unless she votes for Obama? Doesn't that feel like you're taking from her a choice? She can vote for a Republican and take her job, but you won't let her do that.
Asking you,
what I'm asking you, Steve, is this. Do you feel any guilt in removing from your wife a choice that she had for either, you know, to vote for the president or the nominee that she wants to?
Well, it's not really that. I think it's a big of a deal for a woman to vote for her husband. I've always said.
I think, Steve, let me do.
Go ahead.
I think Steve has put up with me voting different from him for a lot of years, Phil. You know, we've been married almost 20 years, and I have voted Republican every time. And he really hasn't said a word. And I can imagine that it would be, it's a little humiliating, I think.
And why is that humiliating? I don't understand. Why is it humiliating for a man, for a man's wife to vote different from him? First of all, who knows about this? You know,
find out, Phil. They know what you're, you know, they know how you're voting. They know who you're voting for.
I got a lot of friends, you know, what your wife will vote about and everything because of politics.
And, yeah, I'm not really shy about my political expressions. So for 20 years, I have voted differently from Steve. And it's embarrassed him. And it has been a point of contention.
And this is a very important election coming up this day.
He dropped the phone on it.
It's a very important election.
Well, they're all important, you know.
That's true.
They're all important, and there's going to be, there will be many elections, and there are God knows issues in every election that are extremely important issues. You see this as a particularly important election, Mr. Dooley. I understand that. And as a result of that, you're insisting that your wife vote for Barack Obama.
Well, no, I'm not insisting.
Well, yes, you are.
No, he's not really, Phil. He's saying, I can vote any way I want.
Yeah, but if you vote any way you want and you don't vote for Barack Obama, you don't get to take a job that you've wanted to take.
Well, but that's my choice. You know, that's my choice.
Yeah, that's Bobby's choice. She doesn't want to vote for Obama.
Well, how is that her choice? You have said to her, you set the parameters. You said, if you don't vote for Obama, you don't get to take this job. Isn't that true?
It's really not like that, Phil. It is. Steve said to me, if you want that job, then you vote for Barack Obama. But it was my choice to either accept or not accept that.
What if you had not accepted that?
Well, then I would not. Then I'm choosing not to take that job.
Yeah, but she's saying she don't want the job.
No, you guys don't understand what I'm saying.
I totally understand what you're saying.
No, well, what you're saying is the following thing. Your wife has all this choice.
That's true, yes.
Okay. Your wife has all this choice. She can vote for Barack Obama and take this job at this magazine that she's always wanted, or she can vote Republican and not take the job.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, that is the choice, Phil, that I have accepted.
Right, but what I said to you was, what if you don't accept it? What if you say, no, Steve, I will not take that choice. I want to vote for a Republican, and I want the magazine job.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, you know.
Well, that's exactly why I'm asking, why isn't it going to happen, you know? Why can't that happen?
Well, I told her, you know, what she was allowed to do.
Well, Phil, it is not very uncommon for, it's not uncommon for people who are married to want to vote for the same person. I'd like to vote for the same person as Steve. I don't like Obama. I don't think he's done good things for the country.
Then why would you vote for this man?
Because I want this magazine job.
My wife wanted a better magazine job than I got a magazine.
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to take a break. Bobby and Steve Dooley, they're talking with us here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show about the two of them. They are married, and Mr. Dooley would like his wife to vote for Barack Obama. She's voted opposite of him every election. And he has told her that if she doesn't vote for Barack Obama, she can't take this magazine job that she's wanted. So she's going to go ahead and vote for Barack Obama, even though she's a Republican. I don't understand where the choice is there. I could be wrong. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Organization as we talk about the election. The tendency of husbands and wives to vote either differently or the same. I don't know that people, you know, check each other's politics out when they get married. It obviously wasn't an issue for you guys, huh?
Wasn't Phil. We both went to, I went to USC briefly, and then I transferred out. Steve went to USC. And it's traditionally a rather...
I'd say it's a conservative campus, isn't it?
Yeah, very conservative, but I was liberal. My wife.
And so it never really was an issue. I voted conservative. Steve voted liberal. But this year, Steve feels that this election is very important because he feels that Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney are both very bad for the country, that they would harm the country irreparably, and that he insists that I vote for Barack Obama.
What do you think about that?
Are you talking about Gingrich?
No, I'm asking your wife, what does she think about that?
Well, I like both of them. I think that Romney and Gingrich are both very good, but... Steve feels that they are right-wingers, and so I'm going to have to vote for Obama because of the job, you know.
You have to vote for Obama. I don't see where you have to vote for Obama. That's what I've not gotten an answer to. Let me go to a phone call here. Christy is on the line. Hi, Christy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My only point is, why do you not have the freedom mm-hmm. to vote the way you mm-hmm. choose? I mean, it's done in private, so why mm-hmm. not vote the way you choose and then take the job?
Well, I do. I do vote the way I choose.
But how do you know? You know. So why don't you vote? Why don't you vote? Okay, the way you want, and tell Steve you voted for Obama.
Well, I can't do that now because he's standing here and he just heard what you said. So
obviously, I'm a questioner.
Obviously, he's going to question me after I vote.
But it's your right to vote the way you choose.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. But I also want this job, you know.
I guess I just don't understand why you can't do both.
Because my husband wants me to vote for Barack Obama.
Your husband wants you to vote for Barack Obama.
You know, you're asking my wife these questions.
Yes, sir.
I asked, I'm telling her she's got to vote for Obama.
Yeah, I know you're telling her she's got to vote for Obama or else she doesn't get a job. And what we're trying to figure out is how does that work in a modern society like ours?
Phil, this is about a husband and wife working together to get something done.
But if you feel that Obama is not good for the country and that he may do irreparable harm to the country, then why are your beliefs less valid than your husband's?
Well, they're not, except if I don't do that, then I will not get the job. And
Wait. Let's stop right there. Let's say you vote for whoever it is you want to vote for. And then you go ahead and you take that job.
Oh, I can't do that. No.
I wouldn't suggest she does that.
And what does that mean, you wouldn't suggest she does that?
We don't want to cause... I don't know if you know what it is you're asking.
I know exactly what I'm asking. I'm saying you vote for who you want to vote for, and...
No, I know that, but...
That's not going to happen, Mr. Andrew.
What does it mean it's not going to happen?
My husband went to very intensive anger management, and he went to crisis counseling. I don't want to push that. I don't want to push my luck.
Yeah.
You don't want to push your luck with what?
What do you want me to spell it out for you?
Are you telling me that if you don't do what this man tells you to do, he might strike you?
It would be my fault.
It would be your fault?
Yes.
No, it would not.
Because why are you laughing at the woman being beat?
He is in control of himself. Not you are not in control of him.
Well, why were you laughing at that? It's not very funny being beaten up.
No, I don't think she's laughing because it's funny. I think she was laughing because
it's
nervous
not
laughter.
Yeah, it's...
you were laughing.
Believe that you would...
I would not hit my wife, but you have to understand something. I went to crisis counseling and anger management, so I wouldn't do it. So why would she want to push me?
But you're threatening her that if she were to vote for Obama, or she better not vote for him. I mean, that's the way you're making it come across.
No, Steve never did that. I realize that if I don't vote for Obama, then I'm pushing him.
If you don't vote for Obama, you're pushing him. Let me put it to you a different way. If you don't vote for
him out of fear.
If you don't vote for Obama, then he has a challenge that as a big grown-up boy, he has to meet and overcome. And that is, you get to have your decisions in life, and that doesn't necessarily mean he solves the problem by striking you. Don't you agree with that, Steve?
I do. Yes, I do, sir.
Then why can't you assure your wife that there's nothing to fear?
I do, but I also, you know.
Steve said to me, he said, honey, I would never do anything to harm you, but, you know, there's always a possibility.
Oh, well, that's really reassuring. I would never do anything to harm you, but there's always the possibility.
Gotta be honest.
All right, Christy, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk here with Bobby and Steve Dooley tonight. I'm having a hard time with my throat here this evening, and I'm going to have to reassess here during our commercial break. But we're talking to these two about whether or not she is going to vote for Obama or whether she's going to vote what she's always voted, which is the Republican ticket. And her husband has said to her, you can take that new job with the magazine if you vote for Obama. But if you don't, you don't get to take that job. And if you do vote for the Republican and you still take that job, well, you know, I've got anger management issues. I mean, all of this stuff to me sounds like a veiled... It doesn't even sound like a veiled threat. Sounds very overt. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
And it is an election season, and this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, we take a stab at understanding this election season from the standpoint of the domestic scene, a husband and a wife. They are of opposite political points of view, and generally that works out fine in the American household. One, you know, family member votes one way, another family member votes another way. But in this particular instance, we have Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us. Mr. Dooley is a longtime voting Democrat. Ms. Dooley is a longtime voting Republican. And this has never been a problem that you guys, and Steve will ask you, this has never been a problem, right?
No, sir.
Why, this time, though, you feel this election is very pivotal?
Yes, it's a very pivotal election. Barack Obama's a black man, and he had a problem dealing with black. And I think that...
I didn't understand. Barack Obama's a black man.
Yes, sir, and I think he's got a lot. People have been racial, you know.
He feels that, there's been racism against Barack Obama. I don't see it. I'm a Republican because I think that the, economic issues are more sensible.
Okay, but be that as it may, Mr. Your husband has said to you, unless you vote for Barack Obama, he won't let you, and I think that's the key phrase, let you take this job with this magazine.
Well, that is, yes, but I don't see that as unusual.
Husbands are always forbidding their wives to do stuff.
Yeah, I don't see that as unusual. I unless I'm missing something, I know a lot of girls, girlfriends of mine, whose husbands will put their foot down and tell them that they're not wearing something out or they're not going to, they would rather they not go to this meeting or this particular place.
Well, I don't know, Ms. Dooley. I haven't heard that in a long time. Maybe my mother's generation, you know?
No, it's very common, Mr. Henry. And besides, why would I want to risk making my husband angry and, God forbid, taking a beating?
Taking a beating. That's the thing that's bothering me, you know?
Mr. Henry, I would never lay a hand on my wife. That's all. She just doesn't want to make me do it or anything.
Why don't you, as I said, Mr. Dooley, like a big grown-up boy, deal with life's pressures without smacking your wife around?
Steve's never smacked me around. You don't understand. It was generally something where he would slap my face. And it was not, I can tell you, it's not pleasant.
No, I understand that.
But
I would never punch my wife or anything like that.
No, I understand all of that. But nonetheless, these are pressures you need to deal with much better and not attempt to deal with them by controlling your wife. That's what the whole thing's been about. That's my opinion. Here is Ken on the Phil Henry Show. Ken, go ahead.
Phil, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. To Mrs. Dooley, have you asked your husband, since he wants you to vote mm-hmm. Democrat and mm-hmm. take this job, mm-hmm. why don't you ask him to vote Republican?
Well, this is a very important election for Steve. He's not going to do that.
I'm not going to vote Republican.
Why not? I mean, you're demanding
I would never vote Republican. I'm not going to vote for him now because they're ruining the country.
You're demanding your wife to vote a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
if she wants this job. Now you put
right, well, she wants the job. Yeah.
Why don't you vote Republican? Why don't you meet her halfway? Why don't you? And
why?
Instead of, you know, demanding something on her, and if she doesn't do it, then you want to whoop her ass. That's not right, man.
Well, no, I don't. I don't want to. I don't want to hurt her. You know,
okay,
I don't want to hurt her.
Well, then you know what? That
okay,
should.
Go ahead, Phil.
I can't hear you anyway. Would you get the caller turned up or something, please? I was going to say, Steve. You know, this whole idea of you whipping your wife's ass should not even be in play. You understand that?
No, but
you know you don't know that because you said to your wife, well, you know, things happen. What does that mean?
Well, I mean,
Bill, can I say something?
Go ahead.
It means Steve doesn't want to smack me around like he used to, but...
He used to?
You never know.
What?
You never... Yes. And I don't want that for a lot of reasons. Part of the job that I'm going to have at the magazine, I'll be doing some part-time modeling. And obviously you don't want, you know, your face hit.
Wait a minute. This is bizarre. You know.
Now, here's the second person that thinks it's funny that women get hit.
Yeah, what are you talking about, buddy? Laughing at
that? No, nobody's laughing at that. It's ridiculous. But, ma'am, why don't you whoop your husband's ass and do what you want to do?
Well, I don't know, Phil. Could you get an adult to talk to?
No, the point that we're making here is, thank you very much for your call, sir. The point that we're making here is why Steve is hanging over your head this threat of violence when it should not even be there. Why you're doing what he's asking you to do. Why don't you ask him to do something?
Well, there's nothing I really want him to do.
There's nothing she can ask me to do. There's only one thing that somebody needs something. She needs something. She wants to get a job. And I said, okay, for Obama.
The thing that is surprising to me is neither one of you seem to understand that this is a modern era. What you're talking about is something that has not been in play for a long time. Here's John on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, John.
How are you guys doing? I got a couple questions for you guys. I mean, really, what does this modeling / journalist position really offer to you? I mean, does it have anything that you could benefit out of your guys' relationship besides being beat? Or is there something more to it, unless you enjoy being beat?
Well, that's really a stupid question, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's only...
Whoa. What do you mean retarded?
Well, he's talking dumb.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking dumb unless you're retarded. But
you sound a little slow. You do sound a little slow. Didn't I talk to you before?
Would you like to have a little slower to catch up with you guys?
No, I said you sound slow.
Slow like, you know, you?
All right, anyway, thanks for
like
your call, sir.
Hey, thank you.
All right, 1-800, yeah. Here is, because I don't think that guy understood what it was we were talking about, or maybe that's the scary part, maybe he did. 877-876-PHIL, here is Debbie. Go ahead, Debbie, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Bobby, it's clear that you are terrified by this man. And he is abusive, controlling. You need to get away from him. You are free, white, and 21, and you should be able to do what you want to do.
What does that mean, I'm free, white? What does that mean, white?
You are free, white, and 21.
Yeah.
You are a legal age. You are a grown woman, and you should be able to do what you want to do.
Well, I don't know what you mean by white.
Get rid of that man.
What do you mean by, would you be quiet and listen? What do you mean by white?
She said it's a phrase.
Well, it's very racist. Very racist.
Are you white? Are you free?
What's that got to do with anything? What does it have to do with anything?
It has to do with a lot of things. You are
like
a
what?
Grown woman.
Like
you
what?
You should be able to take the job you want to
I don't
take.
Wanna, I don't want to talk to this pig.
Ms. Dooley, it's not going to do you any good.
I don't want to talk to this
pig. I can see that. She's terrified of this man, and she...
No, I'm not terrified of him as much as I'm disgusted by you.
Okay, Dottie. Live in your fantasy world.
What? Don't call people names, all right?
You have lost control of this radio show, Mr. Henry. I came on here and...
Look, I'm taking the phone calls, and people are asking you questions.
Yes, but they're pigs and they're stupid. And
you know what? We're going to have to get a little more control here. I thank you very much for your call, ma'am. Pigs and stupid, huh?
Yes. Free, white.
That's totally racist.
All right. It's a phrase. It's an expression. It's probably not the most elegantly chosen. It is something that is often said. But
I don't think that I need to subject myself to being told that my husband's abusive when I have to deal with pigs.
You are calling people names, and that's okay, I guess. Because you're the one that's sitting there saying, I'm going to vote for Obama, otherwise my husband, you never can tell, might explode and start slapping me around like he used to.
Well, that's what he used to do.
He used to, yeah.
He used to, yeah. He used to, and he may start again, and that's the inherent threat. And that's what we're talking about here. Here is Catherine on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi. Well, my heart goes out to you mm-hmm. right now. I mean, obviously your husband is very passionate about this election, and he feels so strongly about your one vote when it hasn't been an issue in the past, but it's more of a control issue. He's basically forcing you, not physical force, but holding you mentally to, well, blackmailing you. Like, I am not going to allow you to go get a job unless you vote for Barack Obama. And that's going against your personal values and your right as a citizen. And, you know, you're...
What are my personal values? What do you mean my personal values?
Your values of the right to choose. I mean, it's an American
right to
vote.
You don't know what my values are. Well, you don't know what my values are.
Ms. Dooley, what are you doing?
She's telling me what my values are.
Well, all she's saying is, I think what she meant to say is, your right. choice. Your choice. What, you know, don't you think you have a choice?
I do have a choice.
Free
I
choice.
Do have a choice.
And Mrs. Dooley, I do
yes.
understand, like, you were trying to compare it to, you know, like, well, my husband doesn't like if, you know, what you wear, like, what, if you choose something to wear, because that's a whole different thing. I mean, it's still a control issue. I think your husband, I mean, has some control issues, obviously. But for him to control your thought process and the free will of your voting, that's really just way out left field.
That's true. That is true. But if I don't vote for Barack Obama and I take the job at the magazine anyway, it could push him just that much further into...
Yeah, I don't want to cuff her around.
Can I talk to
her? Then don't cuff her around.
Can I talk to her? What's his first name, Jim?
Mr. Dooley,
right?
Yeah. Mr. Dooley?
Are you on the phone?
Steve Dooley. Steve Dooley.
Oh, Steve, sorry. Steve, is there... I mean, obviously, if you've been to counseling and you're trying to...
Are you a psychologist?
I'm a marital counselor. And I would think you would, as a loving husband, you would want to support your wife. And
you have,
what an interesting conversation
mm-hmm.
for you. I mean,
do you have a marriage?
Pardon?
Do you have a marriage? Do you have a marriage license?
What do you mean a marriage license? You mean a license to be a counselor, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Catherine?
Correct.
Did you hang out your shingle?
25 years, and I've got
did
a marriage.
Did you hang out your shingle?
What do you mean, did she hang out her shingle? You're in practice, right?
Correct. And I just was compelled to call just because, you know, I'm glad you guys are being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other woman, I don't think the other woman said white. I thought she said bright. I thought, did she say bright or white?
No, she said white. It's free white in 21.
Did.
Anyway,
oh.
Did you have anything you wanted to...
Let me comment, Phil, before the lady.
Well,
My husband loves me very much, but I don't want to do anything that would cause him to scar my face.
Oh, come on.
But you know what? Now you
mm-hmm.
are belittling yourself, and you are going to... He
steps
one more notch. He can say, well, I made her vote for Barack Obama. But he's just going to whittle away and whittle away. And
wait
whittle
a minute.
You.
Yeah, what is this scar my face?
If he gets angry...
I don't want to get angry, Mr. Henry.
Then don't get angry, pal. And if you do get angry, go outside and throw something at the wall. You know, scar my face? Did I actually hear you say that, Ms. Dooley?
Phil, don't be overly dramatic. I just don't want to do anything that would cause me to walk into that magazine the next day with both of my eyes closed.
Well,
if that
were to happen, your friend...
Oh, my God.
This is
mm-hmm.
way beyond. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you'd go to jail,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Dooley.
On a radio show. I'm wondering what the underlying reasons are. I mean, is it you called in just to say that you guys basically you're having a disagreement on who to vote for?
Well, actually, they're a guest of mine, and they're calling in to talk about what it's like to have different points of view in a family. Come
sure.
election time. But you, Ms. Dooley, saying that you don't want to walk into your first job with both your eyes closed.
From puffiness.
Yeah, from having your eyes blackened.
Yeah. No, this he would be arrested.
Well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
That sounds bad to me, buddy. Sounds real bad to me. Sounds real bad to me. I'm going to keep an eye and a monitor this situation. I thank you very much, Catherine, by the way, for your expertise. It's very good to talk with you this evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And
she sounded like she wanted to say something else.
What do you mean?
She's going, well, and then you hung up on her.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's really pretty funny.
Bobby, you know, maybe you've been smacked around so much there's a screw loose up there because you're not you don't sound very intelligent. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch.
Unbelievable.
The Bobby Phil Hendry Show.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here. We're online as well on at Phil TV and HD on philhendryshow.com if you want to watch a video of our show as pasty and as just jacked up as I look tonight, man. I look like I haven't had any sleep. You know why? Because I haven't. And it isn't because I'm burning the candle at both ends. It's because I have I've got bad insomnia, man. It's just the last couple of nights have been really bad. But I'm very, very grateful that you, Mr. Dooley, and you, Mrs. Dooley, have joined us. You understand that what we're talking about is very disturbing for us?
I understand that your audience is not understanding the relationship, the dynamic that we have.
What is this dynamic?
My husband has asked me to do something for him, and that is to vote for Barack Obama. As much as that is something I would not do, I'm a Republican, I'm going to do it for him. And
but he has said if you don't, you will be not allowed to take a certain job.
That's the quid pro quo.
And what do you get? In other words, you get to take this job if you vote for Barack Obama. What is he giving up?
Well, I'd be giving up that she's going to get... What do you mean?
What do you give up? She gives up a vote for someone that she wants for president. What are you giving up? What are you throwing into this deal?
Well, I mean, I'm going to let her go and... I'm going to let her... I mean, if you're talking about, I'm going to let her go and... Go out of the complex.
He's going to let me leave the community.
He's going to let you leave the community.
Yeah, but you don't make a big deal out of it.
Well, sir, that sounds like that's very, very unusual, very strange. I don't hear healthy people talk in terms of I'll get to leave the community. Here is Jonathan on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. My question to Ms. Dooley is, Ms. Dooley, how does your mm-hmm. ballot is private?
Mm-hmm.
You have no
mm-hmm.
way to know who you vote for. How do you mm-hmm. know who's going to believe you, Mr. Dooley? How do you believe her? How do you know she came out of there voting for Obama?
Well, because I mean, I'm going to ask her, a question about it.
Well, how do you know she's not going to not tell you the truth because she's scared?
Well, she wouldn't. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, that's not right. Why is she scared of her husband? Are you asking me to do in privacy as you please, which is your right? And it's none of his business what you did in there. That's one of those.
Wait a minute! I'm not going to do anything in private. I'm not going to keep anything from my husband.
They don't keep any secrets.
Well,
from each other.
Why complain about it if you're not going to use your right?
I'm not complaining about anything, sir.
Why should I be sympathetic to you if you go in there, miss, and?
Yeah.
Do as you please, which is your right, and come out and tell your husband as you please. How's he going to know? How do you know he's going to believe you? How do you know you're not going to come out there voting for Obama, doing as he pleases, and he's going to not, and he's going to get mad
Steve
at you?
Has a way.
He's not going to get mad at you still.
Basically, what he does is sits down and he does what he calls the eyeballs me. And that's where we're, I don't say anything for about 30 seconds, and he just stares at me.
Well,
and what does that do?
How do you know you're not going to feel guilty still?
Even if you vote for
Obama, you're still scared. You're scared he's not going to believe you. There's still the difference.
No, I believe her. She told me if she told me she voted for Obama, well, I know she's going to vote for Obama. She wouldn't dare not to.
See, you know, Mr. Dooley, I know your address. I know where you live. Okay?
I don't care.
Okay, if I find out, because everything you're saying to me right now is, she wouldn't dare lie to me. and this and that and this and that. And, dude, I'll have the freaking L.A. sheriff on you so fast.
You don't have to threaten me.
Right now, you're being psychologically abusive. That last caller has, as a psychologist, has all the right to call the cops.
Why do you even believe she's a psychologist?
I don't.
What's that mean?
Why would you lie to me? Why would you lie to the general public?
Exactly. Why would my wife lie to me?
Because she wants to take a job at a magazine.
Yeah, so she's got to vote for Obama. And that's what's going on these days, Mr. Henry, with the new Barry
Clinton. How do you know she's going to vote for Obama, though? It's my question to you. Whether or not...
Because she told me she would. She told me she would, and she wouldn't lie, and I will eyeball her. I'll give her the eyeball.
So you have no...
You'll give her the eyeball.
She's not going to vote the other way, just because you're believing...
None whatsoever. She wouldn't dare...
Oh, God. I don't like this conversation. Jonathan, thank you very much for your call, man. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7225. 877-876-PHIL. Jeez.
You wouldn't dare.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock out west and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that actually knows what it is doing, what it's talking about. And we're here really, folks, for you. This program is all about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And if you don't believe me, you could just ask them. And we're fighting the good fight here it's a tough world. Bobby and Steve Dooley are with us, and they're illustrating just how tough a world it is. They are a couple. They live in Western Estates, California. They have three sons, all three of them teenagers. Eventually these boys, sooner than you think, will be out of the house. And Ms. Dooley, Bobby, the wife, will have time on her hands to take a job she's wanted to take at a magazine as an associate editor. Her husband, Steve, has made this bargain with her that if she votes for Barack Obama in the election, he's a longtime Democratic voter, she can take, and understand what I'm saying, she can take this job. Meaning if she votes Republican, which is what she has traditionally voted, she doesn't get to take the job. The interesting thing about the conversation that we're having with them in this show is that neither one seems to understand that there is a control thing happening here from husband to wife. And joining me again here from Western Estates, California, is Bobby and Steve Dooley. And you heard me there, Steve, I'll start with you. You heard me there describe how it sounds to the rest of us, okay? So talk to me about what I'm getting wrong here and what myself and my listeners don't understand.
Well, I think what you don't understand, Terrence, my wife said I had an anger thing. I'm not going to hurt my wife. I never hurt my wife. But... it's a very important election. And Barack Obama is trying to get a second term. And this is an important time because of the economy that has happened. And so he needs all the support he gets. And so my wife, who's always voted a Republican, I'd ask her if she'd vote on the Democrat because they need support. She said she's a Republican. I said, we need to vote, and if you don't, you don't get to take a job.
So you've made a decision for her, haven't you?
No, sir, I don't think I have.
Well, yes, you have. You've made the decision for her. You've said you're voting for Barack Obama, and if you don't, you lose this job.
So, this is Bobby.
Go ahead.
Steve mentioned he'd had an anger issue. There is no threat to me. What I'm doing is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to vote for Obama. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, it does. I've been a longtime Republican voter, and I'm a very big fan of Mitt Romney's, although I would vote for Newt Gingrich. I would do anything to keep Obama from being returned to the White House for a second term.
You would do anything except cast your vote for a Republican because...
No, I would vote for a Republican.
You want to get a job.
But I want this job, see. So I'm making a choice. And
but you also have said that if you go ahead and you take the job, and on top of that, you go ahead and you vote for a Republican, and there's been a couple of questions that have been very good, I think, asking, how will your husband know? Why don't you just go ahead and vote for the Republican. You say, Steve, will you call it something eyeballing?
Eyeballing, yeah.
It's an eyeball on
her. Steve can eyeball me when he's asked me a question, and I'll say, I'll give him the answer. He'll sit me down and just eyeball me.
What does that mean, eyeball you?
I'll just stare at her.
He'll stare at me for about 5 minutes.
And that doesn't make you uncomfortable?
Oh, yes, it does. It really, you really can start to feel very, like anything can happen.
See, all of the things you're saying here, having to do with his anger management, having to do with he'll eyeball me, anything can happen. You said you don't want to push him over the edge. You are afraid of an implicit threat of violence here.
No, sir, that is absolutely wrong, Mr. Henry.
Hold on for a minute, Steve. That's exactly what it is. And she's not going to vote for anybody other than Barack Obama because she doesn't want to get smacked around and show up, as she said, with two eyes that are closed.
I was making a joke. Yes, I don't want that to happen.
She's making a joke about... We were looking at one of the Chuck Wepner fights.
Yeah, and I said to Steve, you know what, Steve, the last thing I want is to show up for my job looking like Chuck Wepner in that one fight.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
I mean, if I really blade into her,
I'd look like Chuck Wepner.
For people that don't know who Chuck Wepner is, Chuck Wepner basically got his face beat in by Muhammad Ali. And
well, he got his face beat in.
Yeah, well, he got his ass beat, man. All you got to do is take a look at that fight, and you can see the face on Chuck Wepner. He had two bloodied eyes, and you guys are joking about that, huh?
Well, I am, yeah.
And I wasn't talking about Chuck Wepner.
Oh, not like Chuck Wepner, but something approaching that, huh?
We were joking, Phil, and... Look, I want this job, and if it means peace in the house...
Well, you guys came on the program to talk with me here about how couples handle political disagreement, and I don't hear you guys handling it at all. What I hear you guys doing is sort of sweeping it under the rug. Here is Chris on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, what I don't understand is I've got issues that actually make me have anger problems that... actually so bad that I'm not able to obtain a job. I get a check every month, but I have never, ever smacked a woman.
Uh-huh.
So, how is it that you can?
Well, what do you mean? You got anger management. Are you not even get a job?
How come you can't get a job?
I'm deemed unworthy to have a job. I am deemed unworthy to be able to keep a job, because I'm not able to go off and just go somewhere. But I would never hit a woman.
That's scary, right there. That's really scary.
Well, what you weren't listening to the man saying, though. He's saying he's never hit a woman.
I don't want to hit a woman either, sir. I'm like you.
No, I'm not saying that I never wanted to hit a woman. I'm saying that I've always had the self-control not to.
Why don't you just consider everyone? Why don't you consider everyone to be a woman, and you wouldn't hit anybody?
That sounds kind of stupid, but it's not a bad idea.
We're not giving counseling here to Chris right now. We're asking you guys questions here, and the question is: here's a man with you say control issues, Chris. What do you mean?
Like, I have bipolar and. That's like you have the place where you're just got so much energy, you've got nothing to do with it, and then on the opposite end, you're just so down, and it makes it very easy to just hate life in general. And they teach me all these things: blow out slowly, and then do this, or punch a pillow, or scream into a pillow. But like, I've always had trouble with anger. I've got holes in my walls and everything, but I've never ever hit a woman. Even though that might frustrate me very much. I've never slapped a woman.
Have you ever slapped a woman around?
No.
He just
I've
said
never
he no, he didn't.
Man around either.
No, he says he never has.
Well, that would be very scary to be around a man like that.
We're talking to you guys. You, Steve. Did you slap your wife?
No, I cuffed her.
It was more of a cuffing, like what a bear cub would do to a... like a mother bear would do to a cub, a cuff.
A cuff?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that means. Is that a fist?
It's like the side of your hand. You just, like, smack her, but you don't smack across, you smack up.
You smack up?
Yeah.
I just don't want to show up at the job.
Let's get Marshall out.
What's that?
Let's get, that's basically an uppercut. You go upwards in order to knock the person out.
Well, I just don't want to show up, Tris, on my first day on the job, you know, with my jaw wired.
You are in America. Women, they have trouble with it. They've got places like the Rainbow House where beaten women can go and leave their husbands if they do on them. Because that's not considered acceptable.
Is that the Ronald McDonald House?
The Rainbow House. The Rainbow House.
Because I do know the Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah.
The Ronald McDonald House has got nothing to do with the... I think that's for kids.
Yeah, it's for beaten women shelters. People for men who abuse their wives because they don't have common sense to be able to take anger out on more acceptable... Like...
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I would say this. I think that Steve, as long as I do what he tells... as long as I do what he tells me to do, I'm fine.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're talking about. You can't do what you want to do, or you're going to get cuffed.
Yeah, it's just, you know, cuff up. You get cuffed up. But, I mean, I'm not going to, you know.
I worry that I'm going to have to show up for my first day on the job with my jaw wired shut. But that is a...
Are you hearing yourself? How are you not being abused?
What do you mean?
Your jaw wired shut?
Well, Mr. Ennis, it's a low percentage of that. Low percentage.
Steve, what I want...
Hold on, I'm talking. There's a low percentage of that.
What do you mean you're talking? I want to hear what she's got to say.
Well, no, I was going to agree with him. There's a very low percentage of that. You know, you worry about whether or not you're going to have... you'll need a temporary bridge. We've got a very good dentist. So I'm not really concerned.
But if you have to go to a dentist to get a temporary bridge, that means he's knocked your teeth out. Is that correct?
In the worst-case scenario, yeah.
And none of this conversation am I hearing anybody say anything to you, Steve, about how you need to control, except for this gentleman here, Chris, you need to control yourself. Chris, I thank you for your call.
Well, I don't think it's going to be, as long as I've got a dentist.
All right, we'll take a break. I thank you very much, Chris, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We've gone from talking about how couples deal with their political differences and how one votes for one and one votes for the other. We've gone from that to, do you have a good dentist in case he knocks your teeth out? Do you have a good dentist in case he knocks your teeth out and you have to go to that job that you wanted so much? 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I love my husband very much.
You love your husband very much. I understand you love your husband very much. When you are saying things like your jaw wired shut, your eyes are closed, scar up your face, bridge work, needing a dentist. Steve, do you understand that that's not how normal people live?
No, I understand that, Mr. Henry.
So I've never been to a dentist to have a new bridge. I've never had my jaw wired shut. I had one eye closed once. I had the other eye closed on a separate occasion. And I think I got a...
Your ear.
I've got some cartilage damage in my ear.
You have a cauliflower ear.
No, I do not.
That's exactly what cauliflower ear is, cartilage developing on the ear from too many punches.
No, Mr. Henry, I'm afraid not.
Well, that's what you said. 877-876-PHIL.
She's talking about that.
Look at Steve. I'm talking to her. I'm not talking to you.
I'm the husband.
I know what you are. I'm getting tired of talking to you, man. I'm talking to her.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're a big talk show host, huh?
That's right, man. I'm the big talk show host. Between you and me, I'm the big talk show host. You're just the guy in the background.
God, man. What a
Hey. I'm getting tired of hearing these stories about how your wife closed one eye, jaw getting wired shut.
She said it never happened to her.
Yeah, but she's afraid of it happening to her.
No, you are missing the point, Phil. Steve loves me and treats me very, very well. And we've had a wonderful marriage. And I really don't care one way or the other what happens to this. Well, I do care what happens to the country. I do. But I really want this job. Okay?
So, as far as you're concerned, you could give a damn whether a Republican gets elected or not.
That pretty much I don't care, yeah. I'll go ahead and vote for Obama. I don't care. I mean, I do, you know. But there's no sense in causing a scene.
That's exactly what I want to address. You're afraid of some kind of a scene. I don't know what scene you're referring to. That's what is concerning me. Here is Chris on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, go ahead. You're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yeah, I want to ask Steve how he would feel if I went to his polling place and told him, you know, if he didn't vote for the Republican nominee, I was going to kick his ass, or I was going to black his eyes, or choke him, or cuff him, or, you know.
I'd probably laugh.
You would laugh?
Well, yeah, sure. Why wouldn't I?
Well, I don't think you would like it very much. And I don't think, go ahead.
I didn't say that I was going to choke her. I said she can't take the job over at the magazine.
If she didn't vote for Obama.
She's scared of you because she thinks that you're going to get mad enough to, you know, harm her.
Look, I'm not going to hurt her. Yeah, one time I closed her eye.
What do you mean you closed her eye?
Well, it was a pretty good right hand, Phil. I mean, it was a jab.
You closed your fist to your wife and hit her.
Oh, God, here we go. I knew it.
Well, you should have known that this was going to happen.
Every time I try to talk politics, somebody brings up the fact that I slapped her one time. It was only one time.
Why did you slap her?
I had burned the dinner. I had burned the chicken.
Yeah.
You burned the chicken?
Yeah. And Steve lost it. I got a right hand, a left, a short right, and I was down.
I mean,
Steve, have you ever lost it? Have you ever lost it with a man or just a woman?
Well, I did one time with a guy, but he started to beat me up, so I called the police on him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
all right. Well, he had no right.
Why was he beating you up?
I grabbed Bobby's arm in a parking lot.
This guy thought Steve was hurting me, and he wasn't.
Well, what is your right to put your hands on your wife?
Because I wanted to vote for Obama.
Because
well,
you
okay.
To vote for Obama.
Yes, sir.
Look, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know that I'm voting for Obama, and I'm going to have to hold my nose to do it. But this is really a good job opportunity, and I'll be able to get out of the house. And the only thing I have to do is to vote for this guy that I can't stand. But
what? I think that's a hell of a trade-off. And, you know, we've fought a long time in this country for the right to vote. Do you understand how there's people that are dead, fighting for the right to vote. People that have fought for the right to vote are women, Ms. Dooley. Women, the suffragette movement. Black people. All kinds of people who have been disenfranchised fought for the right to vote and many times losing their lives. And you take it so lightly that, oh, what the hell, I want this magazine job.
Freddie, you treat my wife like she's dumb.
Well, you treat her like a punching bag.
No, I know what you're saying, Phil, and I do respect what a lot of people have done. But he's my husband, and I've got to back his play.
Ms. Dooley, I think he's worse than Obama.
Who, my husband Steve? Yeah, he would make a bad president.
All right. Thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Steve and Bobby Dooley here. We'll take one more phone call before the break, although I don't think we're making much headway with you guys. You know,
Phil, you think that there's headway to be made with us. we're trying to make headway with you. We're trying to get you to understand a successful marriage. Sometimes there's give and take. And
we know that there's give and take in a marriage. That's not a secret. But I didn't know the give and take was I'll give, which means I won't beat you up, if you take, which means you go ahead and vote for the guy that I want you to vote for.
Well, I mean, that's one kind.
Yeah, that's one kind, all right. It sounds like the kind that you guys have. Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Bill. Bill, you there? Let's move on to Rusty. Rusty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, Phil. I do appreciate you being on your show. Long time.
Yes, sir.
First thing I want to say to Mr. and Mrs. Dooley is I am a father of three. I have a beautiful wife. I'm a Christian guy, former Ranger in the United States Army. And I got two sons that are in the military right now fighting for this country, for people's freedoms and rights, including women, men, children, all of all kinds. You got three beautiful sons I'm sure you three love. And I just want to know.
Hang on, Rusty, because we got to get into the break. But hang on, you'll be the first one out here, man. We have to get into our break. I just heard the music. Bobby and Steve, you hang on.
Well, I don't know. You're telling me that I'm...
Yeah, you're going to hang on. Anyway, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 with Bobby and Steve Dooley and the trade-offs one makes in marriage when it comes to voting and when it comes to supporting each other's career decisions. If you'll vote for Obama, I won't beat you up, and I'll let you take that job. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. And we're also here every night at Phil TV in HD. There's live streaming video of our show as we sit here right on the edge of the El Pacifico. Behind me, you see the beautiful blue, almost a greenish-bluish, well, I don't want to get into a whole interior decorating thing here, but it's a gorgeous sight. And right over my what would be my right shoulder, but it would be to your left, are the oil rigs and the oil platforms of the channel, and, of course, the very successful oil drilling that has been going on here for close to 40 years while the marine mammal life has flourished. So we live here, basically, and broadcast from paradise. And I just wanted to say that, to rub it in. I'm kidding. We'll be, you know, talking in our news and information hour about other things, too. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let me get back to Rusty here, who's been hanging on. A very nice gentleman. Bobby and Steve, you guys are there?
Yes, Phil. Yeah, right here, Phil.
And Rusty, you're there. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. And so to finish on my question, let you guys know I'm a father, and I was a single father for quite a while, but I just had three beautiful children, two boys in the military, and like I said, I was prior service, Army Ranger. So anyway, my thing is this. You got three beautiful sons I'm sure you two love very much.
That's very admirable, too, by the way. That's very admirable.
Yeah, well, very good.
Wow. I appreciate it there. But I was talking about your sons, three beautiful sons I'm sure you two love very much. And as your sons are growing up, seeing their dad treat their mom with this kind of respect, do you want your kids later on to treat their own wives with the same type of respect of, you know, it's what I say goes? You said it's give and take in a marriage. I've been married twice, and my second marriage, better than the first, but life is what it is. But, you know, in the aspect of it, it's a give and take as far as I love my wife. And I will, you know, we give and take in reasonable actions.
Do you ever cover her around or anything, sir?
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. See, I'm from a long line of love where my dad taught me that respect of values. I would never hit my wife. I would never hit my wife. I would never lay a hand on her. I don't believe in that. And to me, it's wrong to take away.
What about letting off steam?
What's that?
What about letting off steam? If you just want to let off some steam.
If I let off steam, I go out to the gym. And I work out in the gym, or I ride our horses, you know, or something like that. I don't lay no hands on my wife.
You never smack her around just to let off steam.
No, you don't smack a woman around to let off steam. It's not a woman. It's not a medicine ball. You know?
No, it's not. And you know what? And this comes from a guy who, you know, who's dealt with anger and took his own discipline and learning martial arts and stuff. But you know, my thing is this. I pride you guys. You know, you have a right, and you have a right as a human being to make the right decision. And you're going to make whatever decision you think fills your family up. But I will tell you this. I know you guys live in L.A. County. I know your name is Steve Dooley. Your wife's name is Bobby. I've acquired a set of skills to be able to find people. If I find out that you hit your wife over this, I'm going to come to L.A. area, and I got family and friends out there that will hide me out. And I'm going to teach you a lesson on respect the wife. Do you understand that, boy? A respect.
Well, I'm not afraid of you.
You know what? You'd be like the other 15 others that weren't afraid of me. You're like a hard lesson.
Well, you know, you want to spend the rest of your life being called Mary down with the sodomites. You go right ahead.
Hey, watch it. First of all, number one, Rusty, everything that you started this show by talking about your sons, your wife, and your life, you completely disavowed it with the last series of comments you made.
I know.
You're not a soldier. You're not a soldier when you say you're going to break the laws of the United States and come and hurt a citizen, no matter how you feel about him. So you completely disgraced what you said when you started your phone call.
Well, I apologize.
That's your call. No, I'm not.
That's the way to tell him, Phil.
Well, you don't tell me anything, okay?
Well, we just like what you said to him.
I don't care. I don't like what you guys are saying. 877-876-PHIL. I don't like these guys. If you've been in the military and you've achieved some skills and you were this and you were that, I always, you know, let me tell you something, guys. I've been doing this job for a long time, and I know somebody that's full of crap when I hear them. Most of the time, I let it go. When I hear a guy giving me his military credentials, I believe about 50% of those guys are full of crap. I've listened to all these weekend warriors, all these wannabe veterans. I can generally tell if a guy's telling me the truth. I can generally tell if a guy's full of crap. If some guy starts out with all of his military credentials, there's something wrong. Now, if a cat's telling me that he was in the military and it applies to what it is we're talking about, there's some relevance, like when we have R.C. Collins on, I can go with that, you know.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Phil.
All right, would you hold on and let me just finish? you know, I've acquired a certain amount of skills and all this bull crap that you see in movies. It does not... First of all, it's not impressive, and if, in fact, what that man said was true, that he had sons and he had a career in the military, and he completely disavowed everything with that series of jackass comments. So my read on that guy, Roy, is he's full of crap from beginning to end. I don't even know if the guy lives in a house. He might live in a box someplace.
I was thinking that too, Mr. Hilliard.
Why don't you shut up and let me finish, okay? I don't want to talk to you or your wife unless I have something to say.
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't think you can...
Well, yes, I can. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. Sorry to have to lay it on so thick, folks, but, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Here is Nicole. Hi, Nicole. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hello.
Oh, I'm good, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good.
I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I understand, like, you guys say that we don't understand, but, I mean, you're explaining everything out, and I don't understand. I've been in that situation before, but I'm listening to you guys, but honestly, I don't think you should even hit your wife, because what if you're late for work, or... wonder if you have to stay over for work and he's pissed at you because you didn't come home and cook him dinner or you didn't do this or that and he's just going to come knock you and then you're going to work and you're probably going to lose your job after that. So,
say that again. Run that by me one more time, will you?
Huh? Yeah,
what'd you say? Could you run that by me one more time?
Yeah, just run it by us one more time.
I was like, if he... Mm-hmm. I think he, honestly, tell you the truth, that he controls you because you want this job. I know you want this job because you want to get out of the house. I wanted a job, and I couldn't take it because I'm only 18, and I had a baby at 17, and I was stuck in the house, and I was depressed and everything like that, but now I finally got a job and everything. But wonder if one day that you have to stay over for work, and you can't cook him dinner, and you come home, and he just comes and starts yelling at you and wants to, and he comes in for a hit, and you go into work with a black eye. What's going to happen then? Are you going to lose
your
job?
That's the question. Yeah, that's the question.
Well, you know, Nicole, that's a very good question. It works both ways. I mean, you'll have a night, and I can remember the night Steve was late for dinner. I had made broccoli. I had made his favorite meal. Mm-hmm. And Steve came in the door, and I said, where were you working? And he said he was over at this particular house. I know who the two sisters are. They live together.
Yeah.
And they have been making, let's just say, comments to Steve that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Coming on to him.
Yeah.
And Steve said he'd been over at their house putting in a new sprinkler line, because my husband does landscaping.
Uh-huh.
When he said that he'd been at their house putting in a sprinkler line, I had a pot of spaghetti, and I lifted it over his head, and I didn't dump it on him. I let the bottom of the pot, the whole pot, come down on top of his head. In other words, I hit him with the pot.
Yeah, hit me with the pot, the spaghetti.
Now, should I have done that?
Wait, hold on. You hit him with a pot of spaghetti.
Yeah, I just dropped it right on his head.
So you guys hit each other.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're trying to say.
That's why I feel it's important for me to do what he wants me to do. Because I had had him agree that he would not be over at that house.
Yeah.
And if he was, then I would take the kids play croquet. And there's a croquet mallet, but one particular mallet that I like. And I've told Steve that if he comes back again, he has to put his hand on the kitchen table, and I can bring the croquet mallet down on it.
You gotta be kidding me.
Are y'all for real? Like,
are you telling me that you do that?
Well, it's a quid pro quo, Mr. Henry. I mean, you gotta do that.
So in other words, because you smacked her, she gets to take a croquet mallet and break the bones in your hand.
Yes, sir.
But you see, Phil, that's why I feel like I owe Steve the vote for Obama.
She broke my hand last month. She broke every bone in my hand last month.
You guys don't need to do stuff like that. I mean, you guys should love each other either way. That was any decision you make or anything.
Oh, I love Steve very much. He's the man for me.
Yeah. You love him and everything else. I know that you guys love each other so much. But, I mean, you just can't make somebody do something that you don't want to. You want to, but then
I've tried to. I sometimes will look at women. I've never cheated on my wife, but I did look at this woman, and I've had a broken kneecap.
What do you mean a broken kneecap?
Well, I have been allowed to take a kneecap, take a baseball bat to his knees.
You know, you guys have about as sick a relationship as I've ever heard of.
No, we do not, yeah. Mr. Andrew. You don't understand it, and you want to judge me. I closed up a couple of her eyes. She broke two of my kneecaps.
Broke two kneecaps.
I'm not having him staring at other women.
Some of this is hard to believe that you do that to him, because not just forcing you to say all this so he doesn't look back on this show?
I want you to know that we have a relationship, that there is a give and take. So when Steve says to me, you better vote for Obama or you don't get that job, I say to him, fine, but if I see you looking at that slut that lives in the townhouse down near the security gate, then it's another trip to the backyard with the baseball bat and your knee. And he's already broken it once.
And you guys are going to keep doing this until one of you are actually going to be stuck in the hospital and something's going
to
really bad happen.
You
have three sons, and you know what? They're looking at you guys this way. And when they get them, when they actually find somebody they love, and the girlfriend or the wife that wants to make the decision that your son doesn't like, and he's going to end up going, he'll probably end up going to jail. What if he does that?
Do you understand what this young lady, Nicole is saying, that you guys are going to be passing this behavior on to your sons?
Mr. Andrew, we want our sons to have an equal relationship with their wives. And if, for God forbid, any one of them ever struck their wife, then they have to be prepared for that wife to take a bat or a croquet mallet or a crowbar.
God.
And hit them and hit them across the face with it.
Wait a minute, man. What?
Mm-hmm.
You guys,
why is that bad? I don't understand.
All this and everything else, and think that your sons are going to be okay and make sure everything like that. But honestly, no, whenever this actually day happens, and you
I
think
told my son, if he ever strikes a woman, then he better be prepared to let her hit him across the face with a wine bottle.
Exactly.
But you
so
know
you
what?
Guys,
honestly,
so you guys
people
are
people say that,
Nicole,
but the woman finally yeah. has the guts to do that because they're going to be too scared to see what happens to her after. She does that.
No, you got to let her do. You got to let her do it. You got to let her go ahead and hit you across the face with a wine bottle.
That's you see. This is not a healthy thing. You guys think there's some kind of quid pro quo going on. This is a controlled escalating violence in your house. You guys think you're controlling the violence by allowing the other to inflict violence.
I don't understand.
Did you say that again?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say it again. Nicole, thank you very much for your call. I have to take a break, and you're very kind to be a. With us, we'll be back with our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Of course, our number 877-876-PHIL. So he blackens her eye. She breaks one of his kneecaps. I don't get it. You know, he loosens her teeth, and she smashes his hand with a croquet mallet. And this is how they control the aggression of the other. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Bobby and Steve Dooley as we talk here about the. One of the most bizarre relationships I've ever heard in terms of the controlling aspect of this marriage, Bobby and Steve. You're coming on here, and you know you're full game, you're fair game, because you're talking about the election, and you're talking about making a marriage work when you have two different political points of view.
We know that what we're saying is not for everyone, you know?
Yeah, it's not for everyone, but it works for us.
But this is not healthy. It's not healthy. You know,
what is not healthy? Still, there is nothing wrong with a husband wanting his wife to do him a favor.
And if you're saying that you want to vote for Obama because you're doing your husband a favor, that's one thing. But you're saying that you're voting for Obama so that your husband will let you take a job.
That's right.
Okay, that's not doing you a favor, Steve. She's voting because you will not let her have that job. I mean, the way that you guys act with each other, you might as well say something like, I'll vote for Obama. If you vote for Obama, then I get to smash your hand with a croquet mallet.
Oh, that's asinine.
Why would you take that and apply it to that?
Because that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
Well, then we're not communicating very well, because you just don't have an understanding.
Ms. Dooley, that's exactly what you guys are talking about. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm going to go to a phone call here. Gene, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Gene. Is Gene there? Let's go to, I think it's Christy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Christy?
Yes. I'd like to know what relationship Bobby has growing up with in her home life with her parents.
Oh, we had a wonderful relationship. My father was in the military, so we did travel quite a bit. But we had a very close family, and we lived around the country. We lived in Europe briefly when I was young, and then we settled in California. My father retired. We enjoyed boating.
Was your dad mean to your mom?
I would say yes. Well, not mean, no. I think my father was stern, corrective. My mother used to say that my father really set her straight, because she was a wild girl when my father met her. She was a dancer, and he was in the Army, and they met in Georgia.
Okay, well, I think it was kind of gives it just how about Steve? What kind of relationship did you grow up with with your parents?
What kind of relationship I got with my parents? You
what
mean
was
me?
Your home life?
Yeah,
life
you, Steve.
With your parents.
It was my father and my mother were both a little sedentary. They were older, and it wasn't a whole lot. I still want to get out and do stuff, so I left home. I didn't leave home, but my parents didn't want to do nothing. They're like having two grandparents, you know?
Yeah, like you had two grandparents?
Yeah. Like, and, so I decided I want to leave town. And when I was about 16 years old, I got arrested for stealing a car. And I did about 6 months in a juvenile reformatory, and I left. I come out to California. I got arrested. I got in trouble with a girl. They said that I, you know, attacked her, but that was baloney.
Yeah, we found out that was a bunch of, those were lies.
Well,
and, what do you mean they were, what do you mean they were lies?
They're not.
I mean, what do you mean? It was, you know, hogwash.
We found out later, Phil, it was all hogwash.
You found out later it was all hogwash.
Yeah. And about a year after that, I got into a fight. I hit a cop. I did another year. And
so you have an extensive criminal background.
No.
No, he does not, Phil. He hit a cop. He supposedly attacked a girl. And a weapons charge, right?
Yeah.
And a weapons charge. Now, Bobby, am I correct in remembering that you have a brother named Dean?
Yes.
And he is at Terminal Island?
That's correct, yes.
That's a prison?
Yes, so what?
I mean, what about it?
Well, I want to, you know, as long as this lady Christie's putting things together, you got a brother that's in prison, you got a husband here that's been arrested for beating up, you know, fighting a cop, something with a girl, a weapons charge. Well, don't you understand, man, there's a pattern here? You understand that you got a criminal pattern here? And the two of you guys find a way to work out your marriage by beating each other up with croquet mallets and and crowbars.
What?
Well, you think
what
it's
about
funny then,
son?
Don't you, Phil?
What's your
what
son's life? What's their home life like?
They're in big trouble. They're skinheads.
Yeah, they're skinheads. They like that romper stomper stuff, you know, the boots and kicking people when they're on the ground and everything.
So the cycle is repeating itself then?
I would say the cycle isn't so much repeating itself as it's getting faster and getting weirder.
Yeah, it's getting a lot weirder.
How can I get my...
Boy, oh boy. That's strange.
Well, you asked.
I just feel bad for these people on. I wish you'd shut them off.
Oh, what's the matter?
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show. That knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. I will apologize here this evening. I've had nothing having to do with a cold. It's just a strained voice, and I believe I trace it back to Sunday when we were doing Sunday football with Phil, and there were two specific plays that I recall an explosion of screeching and cheering coming out of me. And that can, you know, that can damage the throat in the short term. And I think that's what's happened to me here over the last couple of days. I don't remember it happening on Monday, though. But last night it was very hard to articulate. And tonight it's been very difficult. So, you know, to the extent that it may have been something that you've noticed, I apologize profusely. All right. Tomorrow is going to be kind of interesting. Tomorrow night is a debate in Jacksonville, Florida, and it will be an extremely pivotal debate, so they say, because it happens ahead of the Florida primary. So we're going to watch that and have another roundtable, possibly, with a couple of the guests that we've featured in the past that you have come to know and love so very, very deeply. So that is tomorrow evening, the debate, as it happens before the Florida primary. And I've seen here now the second time, and this may be the second or the third time, that Newt Gingrich has asked individuals to pull down an ad about Mitt Romney.
Yeah, like this one was about immigration or something.
Right, and I don't know whether this ad was produced by the actual people working within his organization or if it was an ad produced by a PAC, a political action committee that is supporting his campaign, because, as you know, as a candidate, you don't control all of the efforts that are at work, perhaps, to, you know, support your campaign. You are the, you know, the principal in your own campaign effort. And you may have, you know, citizens for Newt Gingrich, and you have Californians for Newt Gingrich, and you have, Incan warriors for Newt Gingrich, and you have all of these people that are supporting you. You don't control all of them, you know.
Well, what do you mean you don't control all of them?
Because they're individual organizations that, yes, you would think that if you called them up and you said, "Hi, I'm Newt Gingrich." "Oh, wow, Mr. Gingrich, this is a great honor." "Yes, thank you very much. And you know what? You're doing an ad that I really don't like. Would you please not run it?"
Yeah, but you think that they do what the guy wants then.
You would think that. You would think that. But believe it or not, over the years, you know, there have been instances, and very recent ones, in which a candidate might say, "I really don't like the tenor of that ad. I don't really like what you guys are doing. Would you please not air that?" And they will, "Well, you know, sir, we know better. We know what's better for you than you do." I mean, that's essentially what the answer is.
I tell the people, man, to close it up.
How do you tell them to close it up? You know, some people think they got a better idea of what's good for you than you do. Some people think they got a better idea of what's going to win the campaign than you do. They don't want to play ball, and they don't want to be on the... they want to be independent. You know, they want to support you, but they want to support you their way because they know better. And really, I think 9 times out of 10, it winds up hurting people, you know.
But what was the story with this one?
I don't know. I will try and get a little, you know, deeper into it. But I believe it was a PAC or it might have been a PAC that had produced an ad about Romney that was rather... caustic, and sort of because of the tenor of the ad, it misses the point, sort of distracts the viewer or the listener from the actual point of what his stand is on immigration. He felt it was caustic, and he asked them to remove it from the air. Now, this is not the first time that Newt Gingrich has had to intercede with individuals that are creating multimedia, you know, television commercials for him that he hasn't, you know, that he's had to say to them, "Would you stop doing what you're doing because it's not really the best thing for our campaign." Now, I heard this today coming out of South Carolina, and the debate the other night, apparently Romney, and that's what some of these pollsters are pointing to, Romney was able to reestablish or was able to recommence some momentum on his behalf. Coming out of the primary and the debate the other night, Romney is now on his way back up a little bit, and Gingrich seems to be evidencing a slip downward. And the thinking is that Gingrich has given it his best shot, kind of like when you're watching football, and they'll say to you at the half, they'll say, "Okay, they gave us the best they got, and we're still in the game, so now we know we can go." And I think that's the sense of the Romney people, that Gingrich has pulled out all the stops, and Gingrich has fired everything that he's got at the good ship Romney, and the Romney ship is just still, you know, just barreling right through the waves, man. So we'll see what happens, but that's why this debate coming up tomorrow, which we will then recap on the show, is going to be a heavy hitter. What, Robert, what are you doing?
Well, I want to ask something. Well, okay, you first. Your fly's open.
You shut up, my fly's open. You don't have to tell me that now, do you?
I want to know about Romney. What is Gingrich doing to blow him?
Well, Gingrich, the thinking is Gingrich is far more exposed than Romney on the topic of Freddie Mac and monies that might have been taken by Newt Gingrich. He hasn't answered, some people are observing Newt Gingrich saying he hasn't answered that question properly. In the meantime, the thinking is that Romney, the biggest attack that Gingrich has been able to mount against Romney is the health care thing. And the health care thing is really not doing the damage that people or people in the Gingrich camp wanted it to. Saying that, you know, Romney has mounted his own version of Obamacare in Massachusetts, it just hasn't done the damage that they wanted it to do. One of the things you have to establish is you have to say
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. They don't like health care.
Well, it is what they don't like. But one of the things you have to establish is if you say, hey, look at Romney. He did Obamacare in Massachusetts. Yeah, well, was it bad? Well, it didn't do this and didn't do that. In other words, if you bring it up, you can't just bring it up and say, wow, he did Obamacare. You have to point out how it was bad. You got to really be effective. You got to really point out how this, oh, you can call it Obamacare, you can call it Romney Care, call it anything you want. But voters are not so stupid as to say, okay, he did Romney Care. Well, that's bad, isn't it? It may be bad, but tell us how it worked there in Massachusetts. Maybe it worked. Voters are not that ideologic. Voter, you know, the independent voters we're talking about, they want to know, yeah, you guys say all this stuff about health care. Did it work or didn't it? Was it a good thing or wasn't it? Did it save people money or didn't it? Did it get people to health care? Let's talk freaking nuts and bolts here, man. And quit with the bull crap. So,
well, they said it worked.
They're not saying it worked, but what Gingrich is not doing is he's not showing how it was this massive failure that he would like you or I or anyone or perhaps himself to believe. Now, that having been said, on the Gingrich side of things, Gingrich has got a problem with Freddie Mac and his connection to that, the possibility that there was some money that changed hands, you know, to his campaign, so on and so forth, lobbying money. And he hasn't really, this is the feeling of the objective observers, he hasn't really answered this question. So we'll find out tomorrow night, because when Romney hammered Gingrich on that question, the feeling is the pollsters feel, the Frank Luntzes, this jackass that they got now on, you know.
Everybody's doing all that posting, man. It's driving me nuts. Yeah, what are they calling that, the CNN tank?
The CNN tank? No, they called it the CNN lab.
Yeah, the lab. Like you're in a laboratory in a little mouse and stuff.
I don't know what that's about, you know. Hey, we're in the CNN lab now. Anyway, I think it's a Google thing, but we'll find out. And there's people that crunch these numbers, and I think it's very interesting. I mean, I tell you what, if I had a second career to do, or if I had to do it over again and had another career, I would love to be a person who analyzes the numbers and finds out why people do what they do, because I think it's really interesting. Some people may think it's boring. I think you can overemphasize it, and you can get really crazy with some of the conclusions that you draw, but I really do think it's interesting to watch how people sort of change their mind and vote the way they do. And this thing with the debate this past week and the South Carolina primary, and even though Gingrich won, it's really funny that he is now he's trending down again. So it's possible that Romney people are saying this. Okay, Gingrich just showed us his best. He just had his best day. He just had this is as good as it gets for Newt Gingrich. It's all going downhill from here. This is going to be easy. I don't think they're saying easy, you know.
Yeah, it's going to run him down, though.
Yeah, I mean, not run him down, but I think and this is just my opinion, come convention time, Romney is going to be the man. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do that. If they have anything other than one guy, they ain't going to win.
Well, exactly. They will not win. They will not win. Just like they didn't win in 08 because they had 95 million different guys. And the Democrats, pretty much by the convention, had got the whole thing figured out. All right, let's take a break here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got a couple of things. We have the New Zealand and Mega Upload releasing. New Zealand courts have released one or two of these defendants in Mega Upload. They've released them on bail. We got Demi Moore. What's the story, man? Is she huffing nitrous oxide? Is she in the hospital for exhaustion? Is being in the hospital for exhaustion just another way of saying I'm in the hospital because I'm huffing nitrous oxide? We'll find out. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. It is our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along with me here. And we'd like you to visit our website, philhenryshow.com. Visit the shop and pick up on some of the groovy stuff that we have in our shop. And we have now a Bobby Dooley item that will be very shortly jumping on into the Phil Henry Show merchandise shop. If you're watching on Phil TV and HD, you see there was, we've got this download, by the way, the full download of our Best of 1994. That is a, that's a wild thing, you know.
That's a long time ago, man.
It's 17 years ago. The Best of Phil Henry 1994 is available, the entire CD, for download, which means you go right over there, excuse me, God, hit PayPal or your credit card, and bang, it's all yours. Full download. We have, of course, our Teds of Beverly Hills hooded pullover and so many other things. So visit our website, philhenryshow.com. Check out what we got there for you in the shop. Now, here's a tale of derring do. The Navy SEALs parachuted into the darkness, landing more than a mile from their objective, a small bush camp in north-central Somalia, where an American aid worker and a Danish colleague were being held captive.
A Danish?
A Danish.
No, a Danish is what you eat. Yeah, Danish is the...
No, a Danish is what you eat, and a Danish is a guy. Danish. The commandos, several dozen in all, shed their chutes and moved quietly through the bush. The compound had been under secret U.S. surveillance for weeks after an intelligence tip had signaled the whereabouts of the hostages, 32-year-old Ohio native Jessica Buchanan and 60-year-old Powell Thisted. But investigators believed that Buchanan's health was failing and that she might suffer kidney failure. We were told she was not well and left untreated. Her condition could be life-threatening, said a U.S. senior official. About 2 a.m. on Wednesday, the SEALs stormed the kidnappers' compound. In the ensuing firefight, they killed 9 people and rescued the pair without injury. The hostages and SEALs were picked up by helicopters, which flew to an airstrip at the Somali town of Galkayo, 60 miles north of the encampment. There, the hostages were transferred to a U.S. military plane and flown to Djibouti. Pentagon officials defending the decision to kill the hostage. Defending. Can you imagine them having to even defend that? Pentagon officials defending the decision to kill the hostage takers argued that they were armed and that explosives were found at the camp. The SEALs could have taken prisoners, but they were operating under rules of engagement that permitted the use of deadly force if their lives or those of all the hostages were threatened. I am so sick and tired of these rules of engagement that this is an effort by people that, you know, it's the next best thing to having an actual argument. It's the next best thing to having an actual point of view. Well, I don't know. You know that we have to go to attack. Yes, I do. But, you know, I've always been very anti all of that. So I'm going to have to insert into this some of my rules. OK, what are your rules? I want some rules of engagement. OK, one more thing for them to think about so we can get some guys killed. Is that it? How dare you say that? I've been a supporter of the military. Well, I was in the military. Uh-huh. That's what happens. That's what happens. It's a political divide. There is a, you know, just like everything else in this country, there is a pro-military, and there, well, everybody says they're pro-military, but we have a part of the political equation of this country that's suspicious of the military. Let's put it that way. And they must have a very, very onerous civilian override somewhere. So, rules of engagement. And just as we were discussing with the snipers peeing all over those guys, even that case, I don't think there were too many, even people who consider themselves, you know, ultra-liberal and anti-U.S. involvement in Iraq. And, you know, they just kept their mouths shut. Because we got to a point now where the second-guessing our soldiers that are out in the field is asinine. So, rules of engagement, I understand that. You're going into a camp. It's at night. At night. And you're there to rescue 2 human beings. Your job is not to take hostages. To take prisoners. You're not going to sit there and hold your fire. Beyond the edge of the camp is what? Darkness. Pitch black. You're able to light up a certain area enough to see what you're doing, getting these people, see who it is that you have to contend with, and get the hell out of there. And you're going to ask these guys to start to equate in their minds just what's the shot at taking prisoners. I can't believe that there are reporters that still ask these questions. And the reason why I'm acting the way I'm acting and talking the way I'm talking is right after the whole Bin Laden thing went down. I mean, did you ever in your life hear such stupidity? You got a whole country celebrating the fact that this man has been justifiably dropped in the ocean, dead. And we couldn't even enjoy that moment for 5 minutes. No. You can't have that fun. Nuh-uh. You can't be happy, not even a couple of minutes, America. You got to have Michael Moore weighing in on what a terrible thing it was, and some other douchebag talking about how we didn't take a prisoner, and some other guy this, and some other guy that. You got Gaddafi, his own people, pulled him out of a car and did whatever they did to him. They killed him, knifed him, shot him, whatever they did. And now we got people arguing this is a war crime of some kind. This guy was an enemy combatant. That's what Gaddafi was. Sure, he was captured and he was summarily executed. It happens. You know, in the rules of war or the rules of some of the world's military, if not all, I think it's an international law. If you're caught and you're a military person, you're a soldier, and you're caught wearing the uniform of someone other than who you claim to be, you can be shot out of hand as a spy. If you're an officer, but you are caught wearing a enlisted man's uniform, or if you are an officer and you're caught wearing civilian clothing, spying, you can be shot. So if you get Gaddafi hiding out in a truck someplace, dressed like a sheep herder or whatever the hell it was that he was dressed like, and they capture this guy, well,
yeah, he's the guy. You mean they didn't recognize him?
Well, what's he hiding for, man? He knows that he's a wanted man. He knows he's wanted. He knows that he is. What is he hiding for? Why is he running? I mean, in other words, why is he trying to conceal or secrete himself in places so that no one will find him or pass as somebody who he isn't? This guy deserved to get shot. So, but they wanted to make a big issue out of that. And so it goes here with this fantastic rescue by the Navy SEALs of these two aid workers in Somalia. Now, the dramatic rescue by the SEALs from the same special operations unit that brought you Osama bin Laden in Pakistan in May reflects how much has changed about U.S. capabilities in Somalia. In 1993, the U.S. military retreated from a failed peacekeeping mission after losing 18 Americans and two Black Hawk helicopters in a fierce battle in Mogadishu. Only after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack did the Pentagon return to Somalia and other countries and begin deploying surveillance drone aircraft and other special operations units. We'll continue talking about this because it's very important. And this is the Phil Henry Show.
I'm Bud.
I'm Robert.
We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Says here, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking about the Somali raid by the U.S. SEALs that rescued the two aid workers, Jessica Buchanan and Paul Thisted. This gentleman is from Denmark, and she is an American aid worker, and he was a colleague. They were being held captive by Somali criminals, and that's who the U.S. investigators who were investigating this, while they were being held hostage, they found out these guys are nothing more than these kinds of slobs that are looking to make money. All right, so it's a world of warlords and criminals and bandits and people who are running they're without any constraint of law, and these guys are just some dudes looking to make some cash. So they figured this out. At least that was their read. They were not militants. They weren't pirates. At first, there were promising signs the hostage ordeal might be short. Local Klan leaders denounced the abduction and supporters organized demonstrations demanding their freedom. FBI agents investigating the kidnapping of U.S. citizens were cautiously optimistic. A team of hostage negotiators based out of the FBI's New York field office advised Buchanan's family and officials from the Danish Refugee Council, who had made contact with the kidnappers via sympathetic Somali Klan leaders. But the negotiations came to naught. Then in mid-January, the FBI received intelligence the aid workers were under guard near the village of Himogabo, 60 miles south of Galkayo. Thisted, who had studied anthropology and education in Denmark, had worked in East Africa for more than a decade and had managed explosive safety programs in Somalia for the nonprofit group since 2009. Ms. Buchanan grew up in Cincinnati. She first came to Africa in 2007 as a student teacher for the Roslyn Academy, a private Christian elementary and high school in Nairobi. She decided to stay for 2 years. Buchanan left the relative safety of Nairobi and began working on landmine programs in Somalia. So what happens is the United States says, okay, let's go get them. And they have some silly-ass discussion with somebody about, do you take hostage, do you take prisoners or not? And, of course, the military, the cooler minds prevail. We're here to save these people and not get soldiers killed. So, yeah, sure, we'll take prisoners, not. And that's what happened. Now, the whole point of this article, that it's got nothing to do with the fact that the hostages were taken. And what they're saying is, and I think it's fascinating, is something we talked about with, you know, again, with Captain Dive before the Iraqi war started. This is the new model. This is the American military model. And more, we are seeing an American military that can go anywhere it wants in the world and get anything done. I remember when the Entebbe, you guys know that?
Uh-uh.
You guys never heard of Entebbe?
Well, I know that was Israel.
It was Israel. And Israel went in to Entebbe Airport in Uganda. At that time, it was run by a real nutcase named Idi Amin. This guy was real nuts. He walked around wearing all kinds of goofy-ass-looking hats, and he thought he was the king of the world, and he was just something else, man. And what happened was is these German leftists took this Air France plane, and they hijacked it. They took it to Uganda, and they held these people hostage. And they were doing outrageous things. They separated the Jewish passengers from the rest of the passengers. The French captain protested. He did the best that he could to try to protect his passengers. He said, this is outrageous. Why are you segregating the Jewish? And, of course, it's 1975. Some of those people that were being segregated remembered, they were still, you know, young enough to remember World War II. And some of them, when they were being segregated, literally moved into another room. They said, we've seen this before. We're going to be killed. You know, we're Jews. And, you know, some things never change, man. You know, they're Germans. We're Jews. They're going to kill us. Even though they're German leftists. Meanwhile, Israel has decided, well, you know, we got to do something here, man. We're not going to sit around with our thumb up our rear ends. So they come up with a plan to go down there and get them. And when they did, and I won't go through the whole thing, but when they did, it was an international sensation. We hadn't seen anything like this since World War II. It was amazing, you know. And you looked at Israel, and everybody was talking about how Israel, look at the guts they got, and why don't we? I mean, it was something that was so far afield of America's experience at that time. Anything that America, because America was enthralled, and not enthralled, America was locked in this public relations problem. Vietnam sucked. Watergate sucked. We're a big bunch of jackasses. We're a big industrial military complex. That's why I laugh when I hear people using all of these terms from the 60s. I've heard it all before. We've all heard it all before. America the big Satan. America this, America that. Dow Chemical Company. Napalm. Yeah. So we were afraid, paralyzed, to do anything. And then here's Israel saying, well, you know what? We're not. Because we know how this ball game's played, and we know what's at stake, and we know that nobody's got our back on anything. We're a bunch of Jews, so we got it all figured out. You think we think anybody's our friend? Forget it. We're going to go down, and we're going to do what we got to do, and we won't take any prisoners. And they didn't. They killed every son of a bitch that they saw that wasn't one of the hostages. When they came into that main terminal area, they shouted in Israeli, everybody down. We're Israeli soldiers, figuring that people would understand. I think they shouted it in English.
What about the people who don't speak Israeli?
I was thinking for some reason they were just there where the Jewish passengers were, but I think they just said everybody down, we're soldiers. And I think one of the passengers did not respond or got up and tried to run, and they shot everybody that was left standing. Anybody that was standing, they shot. And the fact is, everybody that was standing was a terrorist. They all had guns, and they were all training them on the Israelis, and the Israelis, wasted all of them. And I think one of the Israeli soldiers was killed from a sniper who was up in the air control tower at the airport. And I think he was Netanyahu's brother, as a matter of fact.
Who's that?
Netanyahu is the prime minister of Israel right now, Benjamin Netanyahu. You know what? I don't know. I'm going to have to look this up. I don't think it was his brother was killed, but I do believe one of the Netanyahus was involved in the raid. So anyway, the reason why I'm saying all this stuff is that was an example of what could be done. And it was rather improvised. It was just done on the fly. The Israelis were, okay, let's see. We got to fly down to Uganda. We're going to be flying over territory that we shouldn't be flying over. There's hostile countries. We're talking about Libya. They hate our guts. We're talking about, crossing over a territory that people don't want us to cross over. We need to refuel in the air. We need to have a hospital aircraft in case we've got wounded. We need to have a communications aircraft. We need to have other things like a Mercedes-Benz.
What do you need that for?
They had a Mercedes-Benz outfitted to look like Idi Amin's Mercedes-Benz, which had the little flags on the front and the whole nine yards. This is all intelligence, and this is all comes from years and years of Israel gathering this intelligence. They put an Israeli soldier in the back seat wearing a black ski mask. He had on an Idi Amin uniform. Okay.
But they put the black ski mask so he looked like a black guy. Is that why they did it?
Yeah, that's exactly why they did it. And I think the driver blackened his face. They rolled this Mercedes-Benz out of the back of that cargo plane that landed. They rolled it down the runway toward the terminal. What they wanted it to look like was that Idi Amin was making a surprise visit to the airport, which he did a lot. So it wouldn't be unusual for those soldiers to see Idi Amin's Mercedes pull up. And so his Mercedes comes rolling up. And these guys give the salute, and the Israelis jump out and cut them down. And that is sort of the advance guard that is able to sort of neutralize everything that's around the terminal. And they begin to fire at any of the sentries that they had in the control tower. They fired at the terminal, which backed the terrorists inside. Israelis had come up from behind them, so they now had a full force. They went into the terminal, and that's when they told everybody to get down. They started shooting at anybody that was standing up. And one lady had been taken to the hospital. She had been ill, and she was taken to a hospital. She was an elderly British citizen. They never saw her again.
What'd they do with her?
They probably killed her.
Who did?
The Ugandans.
You mean they took her to the hospital? Why?
She was an elderly a passenger who got sick. And so the Ugandans took her into the city to a hospital. And she was in the hospital while this Entebbe raid took place.
Oh, so they never got her out.
They never got her out. And they kept asking, where is she? And the Ugandans, it's who? The Ugandans killed her. So I think the Ugandans said she died in the hospital. Yeah, sure. But anyway, when we saw this and the rest of the world saw this, look at what they did. And so this began, sort of the wheels turning. But it wasn't until this disastrous attempt to rescue the hostages in Iran in 1980 that we started in earnest the development of our special forces. And now these small units go anywhere in the world, whether it's SEALs, the Delta Force, or whoever. They can go anywhere and attack in a small unit and take care of situations like hostages or, whatever. I mean, rescuing people, giving aid, killing somebody that needs to be killed. And this is the wave of the future. And the U.S. military now is probably the best and strongest and most respected in the world. And if you think about it, it's operating at a level where they're using less manpower to get things done. We didn't use as many troops in the Iraq War or the Afghanistan War as we did in the Gulf War. So, just stuff to think about.
Man, that's pretty interesting. But, you know, they made a movie called Raid on Entebbe, because I just looked at it here, IMDb.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They made a couple of them.
Yeah. And they had a guy there, Charles Bronson.
Yeah, that guy's pretty badass.
Charles Bronson was in one, and Richard Dreyfuss was in another one. We'll look at that when we take the break. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here. New Zealand court bails two associates of the Mega Upload founder. We'll find out about that and what happened to Demi Moore when we come back here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Killed.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Who?
Yanni Netanyahu, and he was a commander of the Israeli Army Commandos.
Yeah, he got killed on the day they went in there.
So Netanyahu's older brother.
Yeah, Yanni Netanyahu, the older brother of the Prime Minister of Israel.
He was killed, and you know when the raid took place was July the 4th, 1976, the 200th anniversary of the United States, at least the 200th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which is, you know, kind of ironic or kind of weird. Anyway, so he was killed during Operation Entebbe. Why I thought only one soldier was killed. One of the guys that was killed was General Shamron, and this man, Yanni Netanyahu, he was a member of this Sayeret Matkal. You know, we interviewed that kid, his name was Adam Cohen, I think. He grew up in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills, had a kind of a Hollywood family. He gave it all up to go to Israel and join the Israeli army and was a part of this unit. And it was an assassination unit that went into Palestine. It's like well beyond my, you know.
What's that got to do with anything?
I don't know. It was just like, I think I recognized the name of that unit that this guy was in, and I think it was the same one. All right. New Zealand court bails two associates of Mega Upload founder. Well, a New Zealand court granted bail on Thursday to two associates of the founder of online file sharing website Mega Upload, accused of being involved in a scheme that allegedly made more than $175 million from internet piracy and illegal file sharing. Dutchman Braun van der Kolk, age 29, and Finn Batato, a 38-year-old German, who were Finn Batato.
Sounds like a soup.
It does. It sounds like, a fin of potato. Anyway, 38-year-old German, who were arrested last Friday along with Mega Upload's founder, Kim.com, were freed on bail. A decision on another accused, Matthias Ortmann, was put off until Friday pending further submissions on his bail application. The judge said, Judge David McNaughton, I'm satisfied that the risk of flight here is minimal and such risk as remains can be met by the imposition of strict bail conditions, including electronic monitoring. A lawyer for the men who had argued their role in the company was different from that of .com. They did not have secret sources of funds or multiple identities. Yeah, this guy, I can't believe that .com can't figure out why they're not granting him bail. Multiple identities.
Well, he had a lot of credit cards.
The guy had, I don't know how many credit cards he had. He had four passports. All right, so the United States wants to extradite all four on charges of internet piracy, copyright infringement, racketeering, and money laundering. .com, age 38, was refused bail on Wednesday because the judge believed there was a significant risk that he could try to flee from New Zealand. He will reappear in court on February 22nd. His lawyer is preparing to appeal that decision, maintaining that .com does not have the means to leave the country. The defendants have said they're innocent of the piracy and other charges, asserting the company simply offered online storage. Well, they don't get it, man. And they will use all kinds of bullcrap reasoning and stupid excuses that they know full well ain't going to get it done. If you're offering online storage, well, then those files that are being stored, and that's all you're offering, then those files that are being stored are nothing that people can access and download unless they're the owners themselves of those files. But that's not the case. The case was that they were offering online storage, and oh yeah, here's this, and here's this, and here's this, and here's this, and just enter your password and sign in, and you can download it. Good luck to those lawyers. I mean, good luck. So anyway, an extradition application must be lodged within 45 days of an arrest. The U.S. must show the alleged offenses would be crimes in New Zealand, punishable by at least 12 months in jail. Legal experts have said the extradition process is likely to be long and complex. They don't want to come to the United States. They don't want to come here and be on trial for this kind of thing because, you know, there's all of the people that the aggrieved parties, if you will, the people who have been pissed off and have been throwing the money into attorneys to try to get this stuff rectified and have been unsuccessful because these guys just simply take these takedown notices and they wipe their rear ends with them or they put them up and make fun of them. There are a lot of pissed off people. So you come back to the United States and all these guys have got, they've lawyered up. And we're just talking, just like in every other situation nowadays, folks, we're not just talking about the criminal offense. Now we talk about a civil action. Somehow, some way, they're going to get their pound of flesh out of Fat Boy here. And you know what? He's got plenty to spare. So
yeah, pound of flesh. Yeah, he's about 6'6".
Yeah, they'll get like a couple of pounds of flesh out of that guy. Feeling the heat from Gingrich, Romney enters attack. Modi drinks milk, not beer. His vocabulary includes G and darn. But Mitt Romney's being forced by increasingly tenuous political circumstances to show his mean guy. Needing to convince Republican voters before the Florida primary on Tuesday that Newt Gingrich is an unacceptable option as the party's presidential nominee, Mr. Romney is increasingly carrying out the attack himself. It's hardly his first foray into the dark side, but it's his most intense of the political career that he's had, and a particular challenge for a candidate whose demeanor has been defined largely by caution and can-do. This guy never wanted to get down in the dirt. I don't want to read this because we already talked about him.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I already did 15 minutes on this nut. But I'll tell you this about Romney. This guy, that's why this cat didn't cut it in 08 because Huckabee and McCain went after him and they just cut him down. And he wouldn't go there, you know.
Well, they were ripping into him. They want to get McCain.
Right. I mean, Huckabee wanted McCain. Huckabee knew he was dead. He wouldn't go in any place. And McCain was the guy, and Romney's too soft, too liberal, too whatever the hell. And they ripped into him. They cut him a new ass. And guess what, man? He let him. Now comes a point where you got to just get nasty, and that's what they're saying. So I don't want to talk anymore about that thing, man. We talked, like, a whole bunch of stuff. So that's where that's at, you know.
There going to be football?
No, there's no football this weekend. It's a two-week interim between the conference championship and the Super Bowl. But when there is football, we'll have it on Phil TV and HD. We will have our Sunday football with Phil. It'll be the Super Bowl game, and it'll be really fun, and it'll be really neat.
Yeah, people want to know when you're going to start drinking.
When I'm going to start drinking?
Yeah, they want you to drink on a Sunday football.
I don't know, man. You know, what do you mean, when am I going to start drinking? You mean start doing tequila shots and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in the mood. Tell you what. If I make any real money between now and the Super Bowl, I'll go ahead and cut loose, all right? If I get any good news between now and the Super Bowl, anything, something, we'll go ahead and do tequila shots. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft, as well as Phil Hendry. And, of course, we invite you to join us online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. That's where we are. That is our online headquarters, and that's where you can go to pick up all kinds of downloads, archives, our daily podcasts, our video archives, as well as our 13 years of Groovy-ass archive.
Phil Hendry.
See you tonight, folks.